I reckon you should.
You know what? Let you intro yourself. First. Playtime Podcast.
Playtime Podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello, guys, and welcome to Playtime Podcast. I am Eloisa Gostinelli, the best guest that will ever be crossing your screen. And
is
your what?
Is.
And
is.
Ears.
Because you're listening on. A lovely voice, by the
yes.
way.
Yeah. Ears and screen. My name is Eloisa Gostinelli.
You know what? That is a fantastic intro. And yeah. I'm glad you did it because
it took you about five takes.
No. Before we go any further,
that's definitely staying in the edit.
Before we go any further, nothing's happened here. We just decided to hand over the intro to our guest today, and that's about it. But anyway, how
because
are you?
You couldn't pronounce my name,
Gostinelli.
Gostinelli. Yes, sure.
Perfect.
You know what? Whatever, Elena.
No, but that's good, right? Agostinelli.
Yeah, yes, you got it.
Yeah. Well, where's that come from?
It's Italian.
No way.
Yes.
I thought you were half French, half English there.
half French, half American, but my father's family comes from Italy.
Ah, Mamma Mia.
So, yeah, Mamma Mia. I'm really excited to be on.
Yeah. Oh, we're excited to have you. It's been a great start to the episode.
It has, indeed. I'll tell you what, though, you're quite full of energy, aren't you?
Yes, I've got a lot of energy today.
Yeah. She's a very passionate...
With an extra cup of anxiety, so it'll be great.
We've all got a cup of anxiety here. Cheers to anxiety, guys.
Cheers.
Black coffee. Mm. Yum.
So, you're a very passionate girl, aren't you?
Thank you.
We were just talking about this. You are a passionate girl, right?
No, I was saying how it's interesting because if you talk to my friends, they'll call me passionate.
Yeah.
But then if you talk to my boyfriends, they call me intense.
Mm. What do you think you are?
I think I'm a bit of both.
Yeah.
So why would your boyfriend say passionate or you know, said person versus your friends calling you passionate? What's that about?
I don't know. I think maybe there's like something about spending like every day with one person. Mm. So,
are you a bit needy?
No, I'm not.
No, but I think you know, like if you spend that much time with someone, it's always going to be intense, right?
Yeah, it can feel a bit intense.
But maybe you're just like fucking intense.
Mm.
Oh God.
But in a good way. Some people like that.
What are you like? Do you like intense girls?
Really, really depends on the girl. What about you?
I like passionate girls.
Yeah, so...
A little bit of passion.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, a little bit of added passion. Anyway, we're going
to... Yeah, sorry.
Actually, Eloise, you stay there. What are you doing, brother?
I would love to play therapist, actually.
I love being a therapist.
I love looking into people's like childhood.
You know, you're like me. She's great at giving advice. However,
I cannot take it.
Can't take your own advice.
No.
Okay. So, when you first meet someone, do you like delve into there? You're like, wow, you've got this issue because of XX.
No, I don't say it out loud, okay. But I immediately connect the dots.
Okay.
And ooh. I love doing
so
that.
So, to start
off, do you reckon you could connect the dots with Miles, please?
Of why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
Whoa. Also, what does that mean? What? Okay, I'm all ears.
Yeah, no, this would be interesting.
Okay.
On a relationship level, like anything romantically?
You want. Go anywhere you want.
But I don't think there is anything to figure out.
Okay.
Should I take that as an insult?
No, but as in maybe you find it difficult to commit. But well, I don't think that actually has anything to do with your family or childhood because you come from a really stable childhood with two parents that love each other, still do,
mm-hmm.
still together.
Yeah.
I think you were in a very intense relationship at a young age.
Yeah.
Probably weren't given the right taste mm-hmm. of what a healthy relationship should be. So that probably shaped your brain. And so now your subconscious is constantly rejecting relationships as a result of
sweet
this first which is why you find it hard to commit
hell
and then
that's me
so getting a lot of attention from women gorgeous
and
women and men
okay
and so that probably you know men are animals so you probably like you know
we are
animals
yeah woof woof I guess
so your animal side like kicks in and
okay
You just enjoy the playground.
Oh my God. I'm getting really analyzed.
As Fluff does.
Okay.
Do you agree? What do you think?
I completely agree. Unfortunately, I do really agree with you. I don't know what to add to that, but you're very right on those points. Mm. What about our young friend here?
I don't know you.
But from first appearance, you've had like a 5-minute chat with him. What would you say about him?
I don't think that's a good reflection of me as a person.
No, I know, but stop defending yourself.
Okay.
She hasn't said anything yet.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. What do you think he's like? A bit like what you've just done with me.
Yeah, but I know you like the back of my hand.
I know, but you, on your first judgment, because you just said, you know,
first impressions,
you kind of connect the dots. So what do you connect here?
I don't know, because I need to speak to the person.
Yeah.
And by the end of the podcast, I will do it.
Okay. Let's do that.
Should we do that?
I like that. Yeah.
By the end of the podcast, when we've had like,
do you want to ask any questions about him?
Are your parents still together?
Yes.
Do you have siblings?
Yes.
Older or younger?
Older. I had to think about that. Older.
Girls and boys, or
I've got one brother. He's older.
Okay, so you probably don't really know how to handle a female on a relationship level.
How to handle, what do you mean
how that? To kind of, because men are from, what is it, men are from Venus, women are from Mars, or is it the opposite?
Is
men are
way?
From Mars, women are from Venus.
Yeah,
we are from different planets.
Okay.
And I find in general, but I'm sorry to make a generalization because I don't know,
please,
when men have been brought up with other girls, they tend to understand the way a girlfriend,
I agree with that,
kind of emotionally is and behaves. And so when they've been raised with boys, it can be really difficult sometimes. Mm. There could be a bit of a block. So you could be a bit insensitive.
Might be.
Is that accurate?
Might be.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So, what do you want to know, his dating history, so you get a bit of a background there as well? Dating history.
Yes. When was your last? Oh no, you told me you dated someone a long, long time ago.
I dated someone about 5 years ago.
Okay, and you haven't. And how did that end?
She broke up with me.
She broke your heart.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sucks.
No worries.
But I don't know how. No, maybe that scarred you. Maybe that's why you're scared to open back up.
Perhaps that could be it.
Yeah.
How do you feel? It's
he's
weird,
turning.
Isn't it? It's weird, isn't it?
So you,
do you want to go?
Now I'm going to read you.
Oh God! Go ahead.
No. I can't read you.
So also let's. But I feel like what I love, and I love that we started like this. We haven't actually introduced you really. We know your name, but the viewers who may not know who Eloise is. Is a very dear friend of mine. I've known for what, 5 years?
Yeah, nearly six.
Nearly 6 years. And we met on a TV show.
Yeah.
Made in Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
All those years ago.
I know. I was 19.
You were 19. She's nearly 25.
That is a young age to go on TV, for sure.
Yes, it was a very young age. I don't particularly recommend it.
Yeah, no, we've spoken about this, haven't we?
I feel like I would have been the shit, though, if I came on now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I would have honestly ruled that show.
To be fair, I can see you've got, like, quite, like, powerful...
No, I'm confident now.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I know who I am, and I'm not scared of people's judgments.
Mm.
Things that I did not have at 19.
What was hard for you when you... We're not going to go too deep into main Chelsea because I don't want to anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's just to get a background on you,
mm-hmm.
for people to understand. So you came on the show.
Yeah.
What was particularly hard for you about TV?
I guess reality TV for me was difficult because I couldn't really separate real life with TV.
Yeah.
I remember getting in a lot of trouble quite often because... I don't know if you remember being in Croatia and there would be like an argument or a misunderstanding with someone. And so I automatically would just call that person up. And, you know, over the whole time course of a night, there would have been like two arguments. And so the producers would call me and go, this is why we're filming this. Yeah. Like, you should be waiting to actually, you know, sit and film this. Like, because now you guys are fine and you've just had a...
There's a lot of catch up on TV, I think.
I can't wait. I'm not a patient person. If there's a conflict or something that bothers me, I need to act now and I can't be fake.
Mm.
So that gave me a lot of anxiety. And... I also felt quite intimidated coming on because everyone had been on it for a long time. You were very new.
I was very new, yeah.
You were very new, and I think that's why we connected
so well. Yeah.
That's why we clicked.
Baby Miles.
You know what really pissed me off is that the whole time Miles and I we have never had like a thing. We've never kissed. We've never done anything, and it was automatically just because. What are you doing?
No, he just looked at me.
You don't believe it.
No one believes it,
by the way. Everyone's like, you're so full of shit.
No, 100%.
Like, nothing ever happened. And it's annoying because that's the kind of, what's the word? Narrative that was created.
Yeah.
And that kind of annoyed me because
I was also
in a relationship. And so it didn't make it look...
The narrative for me when I got introduced to you was, Mars, you're French. She's French.
So weird.
I met you with Sophie Herman baking cakes.
Yes.
And they were like, basically, they didn't tell me she was going out with Jamie. They're like, do you think she's fit? And I was like, yeah, hit on her. I was like, sweet. And then.
Exactly. Because that's how Miles was like wired. He's on this TV show. He's here to flirt and have fun.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I'm dating someone. And I went, oh. And then I was like, what am I doing? But what was great about it is that we actually ended up being really, really good friends. We did our first summer series in Croatia.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And,
And I wasn't really involved, to be honest, because say that very respectfully, the person I was with, despite what ended up happening between us, really protected me.
Yeah, no, to be fair, he did.
He really protected me and I appreciate that a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward. You did that. You left the show. What was it like? Because obviously, like you were saying, now if you're done TV or reality TV, you'd like own it and you'd be very good at it.
Mm.
What's the difference for you now from 19-year-old Eloise to nearly 25-year-old Eloise?
I think experience, and this sounds so like dark. I said this on a podcast recently, but trauma is actually something that really builds you. And through trauma, which I've endured since, I was really able to figure out who I was, figure out who my friends were, love myself, know what I stand for, know what I don't, know my flaws.
Mm.
I still need to face my flaws.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just way more confident, like even with my style, you know, everything just about me is a lot more confident now. And that's why I'm on a different path now. I'm doing different things, but it would have been much better and beneficial to go on something like that at my age than at 19.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I think confidence. I was like, I was a kid. I was a child. I had no idea I was doing.
Do you think it's an age thing or because of the trauma that you're in that place now?
Oh, that's a really good question. I meet a ton of like 25-year-olds that are not, I'm not saying I'm the most mature person on the planet.
You are mature for 25, I think.
Thank you. But I think it's more trauma than the age thing for sure. Experience and
I think as you grow up, you know, I know loads of, you know, 30-year-old people who are very immature.
Yeah.
You haven't lived a lot of things. I think you can experience a lot at a young age. And unfortunately, that forces you to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to kind of learn a lot and be responsible for your own emotions, and that's very difficult. And when you go through that, and I know you went through that, because you know I was with you with part of that, you know, journey that you were going through when you were going through some hard times.
I guess our friendship as well was really not tested but I really realized what an amazing, real, true friend you were, because everything came crashing down. I was not in the spotlight anymore, nor did I want to be, but you know, I really took a step back from all of it, and a lot of people could be like, okay, see ya, like,
yeah, of course,
I'm here,
you're
chasing,
not part of that world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Miles just stayed like right beside me, and you supported me the whole time.
Yeah, of course.
And you still do. Like, we'll literally not speak for months.
Yeah.
Months.
Yeah.
Literally months. Years.
Yeah.
Not years, but months.
Yeah, months.
And still, like, if something goes wrong, like, you're here.
Yeah, of course,
I 100%. Really appreciate that.
I think also friendship is interesting. A lot of people think, okay, you've got to hang out with someone every single day to be, like, the best friends. It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's all about those key moments with someone and the connection that you actually built over the years with someone, where that means a lot. And also, you got to remember, I think, as you grow older, you go on different paths and journeys, right? So essentially, there will be less time for hanging out all the time. We're no longer teenagers where you can go out all the time.
I cannot stand cliques as well.
Oh yeah.
The whole like cliquey thing drives me nuts because I'm so, I've personally like, I didn't have many friends at school. I have new friends now that don't know each other. Like, you know, I have friends from everywhere. I never got the whole like cliquey thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cliques, also they're quite damaging, aren't they? They can be.
It's just a bit pathetic really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's, it ties into maturity. If you're like a cliquey person, it's very much like, you know, come on, you need to be like friendly to everyone,
yeah,
like, and have an open mind about things as opposed to just restricting yourself.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, what are you doing now then?
Like, so talk
us through, you went on main Chelsea, you came off,
yeah,
what happened post then?
I then went back to school and studied naturopathic medicine at a college called CNM. Loved learning.
Sorry, can we take a back pedal there? What is that?
say that again. What is it?
Naturopathic medicine.
Naturopathic medicine.
So,
that is a mouthful. Like your surname.
Like my surname. Natural remedies, basically, and how you can heal your body through food, herbs, nutrition, and well-being are my passions. Like, I can listen to podcasts and watch TV shows. Have you guys watched 100 to Live on Netflix, by the way?
No.
Watch it. Is it the
places where...
Yes.
He
goes... I can't remember his name.
Documentary or film?
It's a documentary.
I've seen the trailer. It looks really, really good.
It's wonderful. And he goes and visits all the blue zones.
Yeah. Is it Thailand, America?
No,
Florida?
Japan.
Also, what are the blue zones?
So the blue zones are the areas in the world where people are basically living to 100 and plus.
Amazing.
So
and very good living as well. Like, that's crazy. Around, so
Where are these blue zones then?
So there's one in Japan. I can't exactly remember the name of the towns. It's an island in Japan. Another one is a little village in Sardinia. There's also a place in California, which I would have never guessed, because when you think of California, it's not, you know, the most I would think that there's a lot of pollution you know, a lot of
wait, I want to find, because I'm going there in a couple of weeks.
You should look it up. Greece, Ikaria,
okay,
is an amazing place for that. And so basically what he did is he went and visited each and every one of these blue zones and interviewed people on their lifestyle and what they do. And it goes, we always think immediately like nutrition, which by the way is a huge, huge thing. But there are so many other things and components, like relationships, like being in a loving relationship can make you gain 6 years.
Yeah, I actually heard somewhere that if you have a dog, it increases your life expectancy.
Oh, I love that. This is very telling. I just spoke about a relationship, a romantic relationship, you immediately turned to, you know, having a dog really can build that.
Yeah, well, some
notes, because at the end you're going to get
psychoanalysis. This is very telling.
Some people can have a relationship with dogs.
Yeah.
This is very telling.
No, but like it's similar, right?
No, it's not. But
one's an animal, one's human. Yeah, slightly different.
One can't talk back, which is another thing that's very telling.
Oh yeah, that's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah, there we go.
Oh,
She's got you.
So relationships.
We're screwed. No, but not just, of course, romantic, but also being around people you really love, and that you really vibe off of.
Sorry, guys. I just spilled coffee down me.
How did that not stain you?
Because it's kind of a coffee color.
How?
I don't know. Let's continue.
Latte.
Yeah, I've got a bit on you.
No.
Anyway, sorry. Please continue.
Don't apologize. It's all good. What else? Relationships, food, of course. Purple sweet potatoes.
Purple
sweet potatoes are the highest antioxidant you can get.
What about blueberries?
Even more. It's I think one purple sweet potato is equivalent to 800 blueberries.
What? 800? I have blueberries every morning.
Yeah. I need to fact check, by the way, because I may be mixing numbers, but it's better than eating blueberries.
Where do I get these purple?
So I tried to look it up, and you basically have to order them here.
Right.
Online.
Have you been eating those while you've been here?
No.
Ah.
No, I've been eating the good old other sweet potatoes, but that's been that was really interesting. Also, there was an incredible point that he made about retirement and how retiring is basically the beginning
of death.
not to be dark.
No, but this is so true. Have you seen Clint Eastwood? 93 years old and he's still working and hasn't quit. And who has just quit acting? Who's 90 today? Is it Michael Caine? One of they was doing comparison and they were like, Clint Eastwood is 93 years old and he's still acting, he's still producing, he's still directing.
Yeah.
I even though I haven't seen this documentary, but I completely agree. I think my dad's the same. My dad's retired technically, but he's still working, still goes.
Can be retired and have a goal and have a purpose. And it could be like, he spoke about it on the show, could be something as small as gardening and like waking up in the morning and knowing that you have to take care of this garden or whatever. That's a purpose.
Yeah.
And that keeps your brain going.
That's so interesting.
My dad's 70 and he refuses to ever retire. It's what keeps him going. And he looks freaking good for his age.
Yeah, that looks great. No, 70, wow.
And it makes me laugh because ever since I watched the show, I used to take care of my grandmother like she was a child. So let's say like we're at dinner and she wants more food, I would be the one getting up and getting it for her. And we were at a family dinner recently and she wanted to go and to go and get her some food. And I literally looked at her and I said, get up, go get it yourself. And my mom looked at me, she's like, are you okay? Like, deep breaths.
Also, what the hell? Is that how you spoke to her?
Yeah, I said, Grandma. I said, Grandma?
Granddaughter, can you get me some blueberries?
She said,
get up and get your old damn blueberries.
I wasn't as aggressive. No.
Yeah, you get up.
I was.
Or you wheel yourself there.
I wasn't aggressive. I wasn't aggressive, but I was firm. I said, no, I love you. Please get up and go get it for yourself.
See, this is where we see the intensity. I get it now.
Yeah. No, I'm joking, you're doing it for the better good, though. It's like you got to stay mentally active, I think.
Yes, I wanted her to, in
this concept, right?
Yeah, and so we're actually doing them a disservice by doing everything for them.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a great TV show and I loved it.
Okay, so that actually sounds really interesting, that TV show. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, 100
with,
to live.
With like, so obviously you're a bit of like an expert on like supplements and stuff like that. Do you take lots of like different things like that? Like, for example, I've recently started taking like mushroom supplements. You know, they're quite big.
Yes, Dirty?
No.
Is that the brand? Okay.
No, the brand. Yeah. No, like Cordyceps, Lion's Mane.
Yeah, all the Changa, good mushrooms. Yeah.
All these sort of things. And I find it super interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you take that?
I tried, but are you taking it in powder form?
Pills.
Okay, so that's probably what I should start doing because I've been taking it in powder form and it really tastes so bad. Yeah. It tastes like mud. You mix it in your coffee, earthy. It's incredible. It's really incredible. And actually, this is where the fact check comes in. It wasn't the purple sweet potato that is equivalent to 800 blueberries.
Oh, nice.
It was the tablespoon of mushroom powder, which is equivalent to 800 blueberries.
Okay, so I'm killing it on that front then.
I love how we were meant to talk about relationships.
No, this is interesting though.
I like it. I want to continue on your path though. So this is what you studied.
This is what I studied.
I remember this. We'll go through these in a bit.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate is one of them.
Yeah, really good for you.
I had a lot of that last night.
Pecans.
No.
Blueberries.
Blueberries.
Strawberries. Yeah.
Oh, Brazilian nuts.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Lots of good selenium. We need 3 a day.
I have that in my side.
3 nuts a day.
3 nuts a day. They can really protect us from
3
cancer.
3 nuts a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
What about acai?
Get those nuts, guys.
Acai berry. Is that what? Do you know much about acai berry?
Acai, yeah, that's like your favorite thing.
It's the best.
What are you talking about, the place or the berry itself?
The berry.
Yeah. No, so good.
That's
any
really
berry
right.
is really good.
Loads of peanut butter on top of that as well.
Yeah. Sure. Get that fat in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's an aphrodisiac as well, isn't it?
No.
Well, fact check. I'm
we
sure
need Fluffy.
Be.
Can you fat check that, please?
Ginger and oysters are.
Wow. I know what I'm going to eat on my next date.
Ginger and oysters.
Okay, so something that we need to talk about is obviously we have a very, very beautiful young lady here.
Thank you.
A model, right?
I am now, yeah.
No, you always have been.
Yeah, I've always modeled, but I took a step back and worked for a skincare brand for 2 years.
I remember that.
Called Dr. Barbara Sturm. Loved doing it. Kind of introduced me to a whole different world.
Yeah.
Loved learning about it. And then I stopped that. And now I'm signed with Elite in Paris.
Sick.
And I'm really diving into the whole... Same. It goes with the confidence thing. I think even if I did it at 19, I wasn't really confident.
Mm.
And I was in a position of waiting and almost like not begging, but like I was really looking forward to people asking me to work with them and shooting with them. And
impatience then.
Voila. But now I'm more like, I'm the one that just kind of says yes or no. And I'm that, you know, I'm in a place where I'm willing to receive whatever opportunity comes, but I'm not like begging and dying for anything to come my way. I know that whatever's meant to be will be.
Yeah.
Mm. And I really enjoy it.
So the modeling, something interesting when you say, you know, when you're 19, you felt like you were really like striving to have as much work as possible. And again, like not saying begging, but kind of in that way.
Mm.
What, because I think modeling is a very tricky one for women at a young age going into modeling. It can really, I mean, excuse my language, but it can mess you up a little bit.
Yeah, it can fuck you up.
So how do you feel about it now being a bit older? Has also the modeling time changed? Because obviously it's a lot to do with weight loss.
Yes.
And eating disorders.
Yeah.
How's that impacted you?
Honestly, I feel like I'm the wrong person to answer this on whether it's has changed or not, because, you know, I'm a brunette with blue eyes. You know, I wouldn't want to speak on whether the modeling industry has changed over time, because I haven't really been, you know, at the receiving end of it.
So it's even from your perspective, is it really interesting to see what you've experienced? What are the positives and negatives of modeling that you think?
For me, for what I'm doing personally, the positive is meeting new people. And I really appreciate how brands now, they're not just hiring you for your face. They appreciate your beauty and they, you know, encourage it and they put it out there. But they want you to feel like the brands I work for, like Chaumet, Pomellato, they're jewelry brands I'm very close to, as in their team. And Dior, they want you to feel like you're part of a family and like you're spreading a message about their brand. And I really appreciate that, because it makes me feel like I'm doing more than just smiling at a camera. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, it's a lot more than that. And I get to go out to these events and speak about why I love to work for them and what I love about the brand and what it does. And yeah, so I think I that's what I love about modeling. And I think the downside is probably saying I'm a model is like,
yeah, it's weird, because yeah, I feel like people
judge, you know. It's like saying I'm
a model.
Yeah. it's so used nowadays, and also there's so many different types of modeling.
Yeah.
So it always makes me feel like I'm not doing enough when I say I'm a model.
Well, I guess sometimes when someone says model, people instantly jump to conclusions like, oh, you just like, it's easy, you know, you just smile at camera. But it's obviously, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
And I think the key thing is, a lot of the time you meet people who are models who have a lot of substance, like yourself.
Thank you.
It's not often put together.
Mm.
Obviously, that's not true. And I'm not making that sweeping stereotypical statement myself. But I'd say that is a big thing, right?
Yeah. No, for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. See you later, guys.
So going
into the, what I'd like to go from is something that I've noticed over like knowing you, even the younger you were so driven and passionate with everything you kind of wanted to go for or had in your life.
Mm.
And, you know, excuse me if I'm wrong, but because you have a very good background, right? You've got an amazing family. The passion and the power for yourself and giving yourself that self-motivation when sometimes you don't necessarily need to,
right,
is really, really incredible. And I think that's something, you know, it gets confused in our world, in what people see and view on social media. And it's hard because, you know, you get comments and saying, oh, they're privileged or they're doing this and all that. But it doesn't really matter of what or where you've come from, as long as you have your own self-belief and also you put the work in yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
I think ultimately it all comes down to education as well.
Mm.
I am very privileged and I come from a very privileged background, but ultimately, my father came from absolutely nothing. He built his way up completely without the help of anyone. And that's something that I've always admired about him and that he's instilled in me. So this might sound wrong because of the fact that I am privileged, but I wouldn't consider myself as a spoiled little brat. Mm. I have beautiful things, and of course, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
But also, you got to remember, like, your father going from him not having anything and building his life to where he is. I know as a man, and we can all agree on this, is I want to be in a position in my life where I can give my children everything.
Yeah.
And I would never want anyone to take away from my child knowing that I built everything from the ground up to give them the better life.
Yes. And also, my dad is an incredibly generous, giving person, but he never wanted any of us to grow up with this mentality of entitlement. Mm. So everything I've always had, it's been earned in some way or shape or form. I've been working since the age of 16. He made me work at, remember Cypress?
Yeah.
I was working at the bar in Cypress.
Oh, nice.
Because I had told him I didn't want to go to university, and he was like, well, I'm not just going to like give you an allowance to do nothing. So you're going to work and you're going to make your own money and you're going to see what that's like. You're going to wake up early in the morning. So he's instilled that in me. And so did my mom. My mom could have stopped working when she met my father and chose not to. And I really it's really taught me that, especially as a woman, you need your own independence. You cannot be relying on a man. It doesn't matter who you're dating, doesn't matter who you're married to. It can go away like at the click of a finger, and then you don't know where to go.
So I would love to ask you a question actually about maybe dating per se.
Yeah.
Having your father and seeing what he's built over, you know, his life and the success he's had, does that give you any, maybe not pressures, but do you feel like when you date a man, there needs to be certain requirements within? Oh, she's smiling. So, no, and this is not, by the way, your answer is not bad. Like, whatever you're going to say about this, do you feel like you could date someone who's not, has, or maybe has not got the success that, for example, your father has, but is hardworking and is going to go to that and hopefully get to that success? Would you be able to date someone like that?
First of all, my father's success is not my success.
No, of course, you know? I see. I'm talking in a sense as you've grown up with your father's success.
Okay, so seeing that
As a father figure and as a man present in your life, when you search for your spouse or the man that you want to date, is that how does that have an effect?
I think for sure drive is what I look for in a man. It doesn't matter what they have or what they've built so far, but drive is something that I find very attractive in a man. And when I look at my father, it's not really what he's accomplished that I admire the most. It's the fact that he still has that drive. So for sure. I feel like it's not attractive to be with a man who's kind of just meh. And doesn't really, you know.
Goes the flow.
But by the way, I feel like same thing for a man. Would you guys want to look for a woman who doesn't really care to do anything or, you
but
know?
But I think, I agree. But I think it's interesting what men and women look for in their kind of future spouse or their future relationship. You know, I think I would want, you know, my next girlfriend or you know wife to be driven, passionate, successful in her own right.
Yeah.
But it's not a key factor for
It's not a key factor for you. Drive is a key factor,
so
or no?
Being driven because I've dated someone who's kind of very pretty but doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And you, at the end of the day, I like to be mentally stimulated by good conversation.
Yeah.
And if we're sitting down and you've said to me, I went to the tanning salon and got my nails done, I'd be like, cool.
But it could be anything, right? It could be like, I listened to an amazing podcast today. It's also to do with passion and hobbies.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, I listened to this amazing podcast today on, I don't know, Blue Zones, or you know, if you're not showing any
but that's the thing.
Interest.
I don't know what you think about this. It doesn't necessarily mean
that's,
work.
That being said, though, that's not necessarily drive, though, is it? That's just having some substance.
Yeah,
That's
not drive.
I wouldn't say that's drive.
No,
I'd say that's more like
being having hobbies.
I think more just having like a good life view, having an opinion on things.
Yeah.
Not just being like, you know, taking an interest in certain topics, perhaps that type of thing, as opposed to just being like someone that just fucking like is a complete airhead. But drive as well. Yeah, I get what you're coming from.
It is a deal breaker for me, for sure.
Yeah.
For you too.
Yeah, I think it is. I think drive and being passionate about something is really sexy, you know.
This coffee is making me shake like a chihuahua.
Then let's take that away from you.
It's fine. Weirdly, I like it.
Yeah.
it's the Scorpio side of you.
Yeah, you are Scorpio. Oh my god.
What does a Scorpio mean?
Literally me.
I'm
the spitting image of a Scorpio.
What are Scorpios? Talk me through it.
We're very passionate. We can be very intense.
Stubborn.
We're very stubborn, but we're very loyal.
Okay.
Scorpio.
We're very black and white.
Okay.
Yeah. What signs are you guys?
Saggy.
Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Why are you so surprised?
I forgot that you were. My sister's Aquarius. That's why we get along.
I feel like you could be a Leo, Miles. You probably have some Leo in you.
I do. My rising
is Leo.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I didn't know that. All right. What else?
That's some good mental mind reading there.
Mental mind reading?
Yeah.
Nice.
Whatever you want to call it. So, okay, we touched on that.
Mm.
What are the sort of like red flags? Also, let's talk about, rather than just talking about red and green flags.
Yeah.
So, dating.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through your experience. Have you been have you done online dating before?
I've never done online dating. For example, no one ever slides into my DMs. Ever. Ever. Have I ever texted?
Show me your DMs.
There we go. Show me.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch these. Let's have a look. I bet you so many guys slide in.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's continue.
So I've never gone on dating apps.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever would. I like to things to be organic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm kind of a homebody, so I'm not going out, you know, every weekend.
I'll ask you a question. Mm. Do you drink?
I do.
It wasn't a loaded question, by the way.
I used to drink less.
Yeah, because I remember
should not be saying this like this, but I'm not a heavy drinker, but I've learned to enjoy alcohol a bit.
Because you hated, when I met you, I think you had your first vodka shot with me.
I did. I remember where
like
we were.
She had never
we
had
were on the King's Road in that little bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And now alcohol
and now
is
I've turned
free
to tequila.
Pro. Yes, good.
I love a tequila.
Tequila's good.
With an orange slice.
Ooh.
Love.
Nice. What? So do you shot it or do you sip it?
I shot it.
Okay, nice.
With a bit
of salt?
No, that's the thing though. I enjoy feeling a bit tipsy.
What have you ever done a tequila suicide?
No.
Have you heard about these?
That doesn't sound very appealing.
So basically, when I was when I left school, I went to Thailand with some friends, and there was this bar where you basically got shots for free if you did them as a tequila suicide. Basically, what a tequila suicide is, you sniff the salt and then you you shot it in your eye. And that's how I used to roll.
You drunk?
Yep. That must fuck you
up.
Yeah,
that actually gets you really drunk.
But what about your eye?
Yeah, and what about your nose?
So, I mean, I don't know.
Oh my
god. But it absorbs it still. As in, I don't know how, like, the science behind it.
No, but like, doesn't it burn?
Yeah, it gets you fucked.
Surely you have to leave the shot on your eye for a while because all of that to go in.
Yeah, it's quite messy. That's for sure. And you also look like an absolute retrobate as well. You're at the bar.
Oh my goodness.
But. Yeah, I mean, I don't do that now, as a disclaimer, but...
Okay, so I guess also you've grown up a little bit now, so you're enjoying alcohol.
Yeah, I'm enjoying alcohol. I really enjoy getting a bit tipsy when, like, but not all the time, of course, but always with reason, and I never go overboard.
Yeah.
By the way, like, it's completely normal to drink. Like, we're not from a... Like, I love to drink as well.
Yeah.
It's, like, completely... You don't have to have a reason to drink either.
No.
You can just enjoy drinking.
Yeah. I love having a really healthy relationship with it. If you have a really healthy relationship with alcohol, it can be really fun. But unfortunately, some people, like, they just can't.
Binging.
But I think also, unfortunately, in the UK, we do have, you know, unfortunate... you know, culture on alcohol, which is binge drinking.
It's really intense.
And, you know, it's, you know, going down to the pub during work at 1 p.m. in the city and having a couple of beers and it's normalized. And I find that, you know, when I was younger, saw it as a normal thing because when you're younger, you kind of want to get drunk all the time and drink all the time. But when I look at it now, like if I walk by a pub in the city,
it's kind of sad.
I kind of be like, wow, it's a beer at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday?
I disagree with what you're saying though, because... it's all to do, I think you can do that and still have a healthy relationship, is when you're sort of dependent on it and using it to mitigate how you're feeling, how, like, negative things in your life. I know a lot of people who just love to go for a drink.
They enjoy it.
And people do it also in the city. A lot of people do it for work, to do, like, you know, meetings, stuff like that.
But that, for me, that's where I see that there's a problem, because a lot of my friends who do work in the city, who do rely on alcohol to be with clients, to serve clients and be like, okay, I need to, you know, every day, it is an unhealthy relationship, because every day they have to be with a client, they have to talk, they have to go down to the pub, or they have to do these extravagant dinners and have a whiskey, have this, and it's all week.
Yeah.
And that's where it's very tough, because that's why I say city. I don't say necessarily going for a drink in the pub is unhealthy and you have an unhealthy relationship with it. But what I've noticed, and again, I don't mean to generalize a lot, but because I do have a lot of friends who do work in the city and I've seen it a lot, it does feel like an unhealthy relationship that people don't acknowledge yet.
Yeah, I agree with you for some people, but I don't think it's true for everyone, because I know, like, I won't name their names, but we know
of course,
and I think you know who I'm talking about. He works in the city, he's got a very good relationship with it, he's a lovely guy, whereas some people, particularly, like, I know that working, like, insurance and stuff like that, it's very heavy drinking, stuff like that. But it depends, it's person to person, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Anyway, we went on a little
me and Miles having a little debate again.
Back to you. So let's go back to the modeling and dating. So you've never been on a... This is actually a good question. Do people assume...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a smart
kid. Wow, guys, listen to this.
Listen to what's about to happen.
I have a question.
I have a good question.
It might not be a good question,
go on.
But it is a question.
Do
you get people... having assumptions about you for your looks?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the most common assumptions they've had about you? What, gold digger vibes?
No.
Ooh, she got offended by that.
No, I do not like a gold digger.
Because I got the gold.
No, but I'm just, I think it's, ugh. Anyways. I basically, when I ended the relationship that I was in when I met you, I was going on dates with people, but I have a serious issue and I need to work on it, where I cannot look at someone in the eyes and tell them, I'm sorry, I'm just not into it anymore.
Right.
So I just ghost. And it's a really bad trait.
Mm.
And I would do it a few times, and that's literally how I operate. Like, I will not be able to look at a guy and be like, I'm sorry, like, this was fun, but, like,
I'm not feeling it.
Not for me.
What
why
is that?
I don't know what it is. I can't look. I feel like it makes me so anxious to break anything off. And so I just distance myself.
Mm.
And I think that created this kind of narrative that I kind of pick up guys and drop them.
Mm.
But then I met my recent boyfriend and was, like, madly head over heels in love, and I had no intention to drop him. So that's something I had to kind of explain for him to, like, you know,
understand
and trusted I wasn't, you know.
What's the...
That's an assumption I've heard people say, like, about me, which is, it's not true. I don't go into something to drop someone. I'm just really bad at...
You're too nice.
Not even, honestly. I'm not that nice, clearly, because, like, I'm, like,
no,
ghosting.
You find it, you know, I know a lot of people who find it hard to...
Just find it awkward.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a common thing to have. I don't think it's like...
Are you a big ghoster?
Am I a big ghoster?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm not.
I feel like you might be.
Mars is laughing, even though he doesn't even know.
No, I know, but...
He's like...
No, just because the way you answer, you were like...
No, I'm not.
No, look, I have. I think, like, anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone's had at least a scenario where they've done it before. And yeah, I have done it before. But I think it is very difficult to do it in person after a date.
I, like, can't. It, like, gives me...
However, following up after a date and sort of, like, just saying where the land lies, like, it's easy to... just not say anything, isn't it?
Mislead guys hugely.
Yeah.
Genre, I was on a date with this guy. Like, I don't know what it is about me, but we were on a date I had been, I had broken up with a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he, I said to him in the car, like, I want to take things slow, but we kissed. Mm. So maybe that was misleading. And
yeah. I'll tell you right now. That is definitely misleading. I want to take this slow.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know.
I'll take this slow. Now kiss me.
Yeah, do it now.
Next thing I know, I get home. 3 hours later, I get a plane ticket to Egypt.
Oh, wow.
Wow. We do not hang out in the same circle. Like, sorry, who are these people?
But yeah. I remember being on the phone to my mom going, what is wrong with me? Like, what have I, how, I don't understand.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I think, you know, something maybe you...
I'm just not clear.
This is what's great with you, and is you don't know this. Well, maybe you do, but you don't act like you know this. You're very, very, very beautiful. Okay, you are very, very beautiful. And I think, you know, it is one of those things when, you know, it's happened to us when, like, you go on a date with a girl who's very, very attractive.
Mate, don't put it in a frame where you made that sound as though it was like, so are we?
No, I'll leave it that.
Okay, fine. No, because that's not the...
No. Listen, you haven't let me finish. Okay, I was going to say, it happens to us where a girl will buy us a plane ticket to Egypt.
And I can relate, because it happens to me all the time.
No, I'm saying it happens to us when we date a girl that we find very attractive.
Right, yes.
Like how you just...
Didn't let you finish.
No, you didn't. But it happens to... And I can already think about the girls that this happened to me with, is where you're like... You're besotted by someone.
Yeah.
And you get, you all of a sudden make this story in your head going, oh my God, we're going to have the most insane relationship. I already planned the first year of our lives together. We're going to Egypt, baby. We're going to Egypt.
It was so intense. And I was like, and then poor guy, I got upset. No, I'm really not nice. I really need to work on this. I got upset at him. And I was like, I told you I wanted to take things slow. Like, why are you putting me in this position? This is so uncomfortable. Where I should have been like, thank you. Like, that's so sweet. I think there's a miscommunication. And he was so uncomfortable that he said it was a joke.
Are you joking?
And I know. He's like, I was just kidding. Damn, I was just kidding. And I felt awful. But that's something I'm trying to work on.
No, but
I get it.
What I would say is that, you know, a lot of guys would have taken that trip. Would have been like, you know what?
Whatever.
Even if I don't like the guy, I'm going to Egypt.
You know
no,
what?
No, I can't.
But that's amazing.
No, that's great.
I get such an ick. The moment I get in it, it's impossible to get me out of my funk. It's impossible.
Out of your funk.
like my funk. Isn't that what you say?
No, that's not an ick. Out my funk. You're not dancing. Out my funk.
Can we cut this? I'm embarrassed.
No, we're keeping that in.
Oh, like it's a funky.
Funky. It's definitely not funky.
Funky. Like
smells funky.
Yeah, ick. Like my rut.
Yeah.
That's not the word you use.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Don't. It's a normal word to use.
Yeah.
Ick is a real thing, you guys.
No, but
I suffer from an ick.
I hate the word ick.
Yeah,
I hate feeling an ick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of the icks you see people post about online are hilarious.
Yeah, like, have you seen the one where it's like, I hate when I see man, what was it? If he trips over himself, it's an ick.
Oh, such an ick. Yeah. Such an ick. My God. Or if he falls... breaks my heart, but it's like I don't want to sleep with you.
How is that an ick? But I don't get it.
I'll tell you what else is an ick.
Oh God.
Skinny jeans and sneakers.
Ooh. That's not us.
Skinny jeans. I don't mind sneakers. I love a sneaker. A skinny light blue jean with a sneaker. Ooh. Go away. Yeah. Go away.
With the rip.
Go away.
Yeah.
I actually saw one that made me laugh the other day. Some girl wrote, my biggest ick is when someone claps when the plane lands.
Oh, that is an ick.
Or there was another one where it was like...
That is so funny.
When someone says bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
You're French though, bon appétit.
Go away.
Okay.
It's awful. There's so many icks.
Bon appetit. Why is that? Why?
I don't think it, like, do guys have many icks? I don't know.
What do you mean? Like, do we have icks?
I feel like there's this
girl
whole...
like smells.
Oh, yeah. But that's just like,
that's cleanliness.
That's just
like hygiene.
That's, you know what? That's actually, just an like ick,
general,
an ick,
that's a general ick. Rule of attractiveness, no. though.
A right? ick is if a girl doesn't have good nails for me. Yeah. So, I think there's small things that I think are quite important, and like taking care of yourself and hygiene obviously are really important, but I think for some time, but I'll look at a girl who's beautiful and
she
like
bad nails.
Really bad nails. And I'm a bit like, oh, that's, I don't know why, but a bit of, no, I wouldn't say an ick per se, but I'll book you a nail salon session.
No, I get it. It's a, it's because her having a, and it doesn't have to be like a really expensive manicure, but no, it means that she has self-love to take care of herself. 100%. And so that's attractive.
And I think also,
that's basically the thing behind it.
Yeah, it is. And it's still part of hygiene, I guess. I don't know. I think nails is nice.
It's hygiene. I agree. I think it's important.
What are your icks?
I mean, I don't think I really have it. I think stuff you're describing is just like general attractiveness. Obviously, like hygiene. Like,
okay, what about what about a girl who is
a guy who spits the bill?
Oh,
this is a topic.
We go
so
on a first date.
Okay, first date.
Okay,
you're the man has to pay. How many dates in will you split, or will you ever split?
So I will always offer. Out of politeness, again, I'm not entitled, but I love a gentleman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love a man who opens a door for me. I love a man who, you know. So if we're on a date and you have come, like you have chased me to go on a date.
Yeah. Asked
me on a date. Yep. To expect me to pay or to expect it to be split, I feel is not like... the That's gentleman-like fair. Thing to do on the first date. Mm. And then, of course, like maybe date three, I would say.
Yep.
It's okay to split. But I actually would prefer to pay for the both of us than splitting.
So this is interesting. We've spoken about this. And I think dating, the way I see it, is if I've asked you out, I'm paying regardless, right?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If you don't offer, I find it a bit rude.
Yeah.
Knowing I'm going to pay, I still want you to be like, don't worry, babe, I've got this.
Yeah.
What I do find that I actually haven't experienced a lot is, let's say we've gone on 4 or 5 dates now. I would, instead of like you saying, going on a 6th date and then we split or whatever, it's more like if you had an idea and you said, babe, let's go, I don't know, rock climb or something really fun.
Anything, yeah.
And then you paid for that experience. For me, that's like your... both putting effort into dating each other rather than me.
Through different experiences.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if I'm asking you to do, like I want to take you out and I'm pursuing you, it's up to me to deal with that. And then once you, let's say you've, okay, I actually like this person, you know what, I want to treat him a little, not treat him, but I want to do something special for both of us because he told me he likes this.
Yeah.
I know, golf. I'm going to take him to Topgolf.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a fun little date. Yeah. And not that like you're going to be spending loads of money on it, but it's like the small things make it, also, as a guy, I think, makes it, okay, she's invested in me as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just me trying, because I don't know if you've gone through this, but you've dated someone and it's like, you feel like you're just doing everything all the time.
Yeah.
And there's no effort
back.
And it's not about her paying for things, but it's about, oh, let me put effort into this relationship, the beginning of this relationship.
I also think like in my recent relationship, my boyfriend was very financially,
stable.
And very generous and very old school. So he loved to pay for everything.
Yeah.
And so, and even if I would ask, he personally would almost not take it as an insult, but he thought it was his role. And so I'm not going to argue against that. But so what I would do to also make myself feel like I'm invested is I'm cooking for him at night. I prepare him a meal. I make sure I run him a bath. I get him his favorite books.
Yeah.
I do it. I return it in a different way that doesn't make him feel emasculated.
Yeah.
Because there's different things that will make a man feel emasculated. This is just my opinion. I personally believe that it's okay to be submissive to your man sometimes and to let him kind of take the reins, but to then do something in return. It doesn't mean that he's walking all over you or that you're lesser than. It just means that as a woman, you're bringing something different to the table whilst he's bringing what he can as a man.
It's really refreshing hearing that.
And I think also that we live in a society now where because women are so... into fighting for their rights and their place, they kind of emasculate, and this is not a general like demasculate emasculate a man sometimes, and it kind of makes a man, I'm not speaking for you guys because a man, but sometimes it's okay to kind of keep that masculinity.
I think it's important
and to kind of have that yin and yang.
What in your perspective, why is this shift happening? What has happened
I think
it's for women at the moment feeling like they need to, I guess, have you know, I think it's amazing that women are super independent. Like, my sister's super independent.
Yeah.
You know, but
independence has nothing to do with it.
I know, but that's what I think is being confused.
Yes.
I do feel like women sometimes are like, you know, oh, well, no, what's going on in society is the independence is kind of overshadowing what it means to be a woman or what it means to be a man. And it's like, no, women need to do all this and I don't need a man. It's like, why do you feel like there is a bit of a gender battle at the moment?
Honestly, I don't know. I can only assume that it must be because a lot of women have felt oppressed and silenced. That's the only kind of reason I can explain. But I don't. I personally don't feel the need to.
Yeah.
I fight for women. I stand with women. I'm a huge girl's girl. I do not tolerate disrespect on any level from a man. For my friends, like. In that way, I'm really strong, but I think it's important not to go overboard and to kind of, yeah, chop balls off.
Yeah. No. That's very, it's interesting to hear because I think, you know, people are a little, even I find it really difficult to talk on the matter. Mm. I'm not a girl. I'm not going to sit here and say what women are feeling like or what they should be doing or what they deserve or how they should be treated or what they want in their life. Mm. But there is a big shift and it's taken away and bringing it back to dating per se. You know, I've spoken to a lot of my friends who do feel like they don't know necessarily how to approach women maybe anymore.
Yeah, no, it's scary.
Or feel like they don't know how to act in a relationship anymore because they don't feel like the, let's say, the old ways are okay anymore to hold a door for a girl.
Just to add a statistic in there, I heard the other day that 80% of men haven't approached a girl in the last year.
Wow.
Because they're scared.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the disconnect with sort of like online dating and not building the skills to be able to approach people and have those interpersonal skills twinned with sort of like Me Too, that type of like movement and that vibe. So it makes it quite difficult. So yeah, it's pretty much like...
No, that makes sense.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. Because obviously for you, you're like, everything's organic.
I'd rather be alone.
But what, as in you'd rather be alone than...
I'd rather be alone than go on a dating app
really?
And forcing it. And
okay,
I would rather be alone. My friends, I have my family.
It's super interesting. I completely agree with you. I think it's like, it's way better for things to be organic. I have very little faith in online dating and apps and stuff
Me
like
too.
That. Because it's just like, how do you build a connection with someone like over an app?
And by the way, Instagram falls into that bracket in my opinion too, by the way.
Yeah,
but it's a new dating app.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it?
The last question, well, not last question. What would you tell your younger self now? Going back to 19, when I knew you, what are some words of wisdom that you would tell yourself now, going through the experiences, the trauma that you've gone through, life, and what would you say to her?
I'm getting emotional. I don't know why.
You don't have to. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean that to be a deep question.
Just to like believe in yourself and that everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
to stay close to your friends and your family, like always.
Yeah,
friends and family.
You're amazing.
Sorry,
and don't you worry. You don't have to apologize at all. You've been amazing. Honestly,
Thank you, guys.
A sunshine in Playtime podcast and in our studio. You've for us, I think it was really important to actually we want to get more female guests on.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's really important for our viewers to understand women's perspective, our perspective as well as men. And I think no better way to kind of start doing more of that with you.
Thank you.
A unique, wonderful woman. If anyone wants to go check this beautiful girl on Instagram, please, we'll put all our socials in the description. And yeah, again, just thank you for coming along and having a nice little chat with us.
Thank you guys
so much. It was great having you on.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Everything.
Thank you,
babe.
Thanks. Guys, thank you so much for joining Playtime Podcast. It's been wonderful. This may be the last app you see in this studio. We might be in the new studio soon.
Could I come into the new studio?
Yeah, 100%. You can come visit after this, actually. So yeah, please make sure you share, subscribe, like, do all of that goodness. Follow our socials. Go see Eloise. We'll put all the info in the description box.
Come see me.
Come see her. Is there anything else we have to leave our viewers with?
I think that's all, you know.
Don't watch porn.
The only other thing is, yeah, don't watch porn. And also, as you know, Miles and I have a production business called Playtime Productions. And
the way you said Playtime
Productions.
And yeah.
The website's live, by the way. The website's live.
Yeah, the website's live. Go check it out. If you're interested in talking to us about podcasts, if you've got an idea, anything at all, or you're just intrigued by what we're doing, please set up a call with us and we will be in touch.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, thank you so much and we'll see you next week.